Today's episode is presented by State Bags. State Bags makes beautiful, well-made, inclusively cool products while using the power of business to give back to shift the narrative around social injustice. For every State Bag purchase, State hand delivers a backpack packed with essential tools for success to an American child in need. State is offering our listeners 15% off their next purchase at statebags.com using the code POD. That's 15% off your next purchase using the code POD at statebags.com. State Bags, they have your back.
I agree 100%, and I don't have an answer for you. I do think it should have been the two, and I think most people expected that, and I think we're kind of shocked that they didn't. You know, but they made the criminal mistake after the original Xbox, because they went Xbox 360 after that. Mm-hmm. And like, what do you do from that point, you know?
Welcome. We are your hosts, Brandon and Jordan, just two dads with similar interests.
Lots of times we feel like we are only operating with one brain between us.
This is Two Dads,
One Mind.
Well, welcome back to another episode of Two Dads, One Mind. This week, we have a guest with us. His name is Josh Hutton. He's a good friend of mine. He also runs a podcast that really just talks about Xbox news and games, all of that information. So we really couldn't think of a better person when Jordan and I decided to discuss Xbox. We have been wanting to talk about just gaming in general because, you know, yes, we are dads. Yes, we talk about all these fun and or serious topics, but Jordan and I really do like to, when we get the time in the evenings, to play games on the Xbox. We enjoy that, you know, when we get the kiddos to bed. And so, you know, I would say, you know, if you're not playing all the time and that's your life, then there's nothing to feel bad about being a dad who enjoys gaming a little. So we wanted to kind of relax the topic tonight and talk Xbox, and I'm really excited to get to talk to Josh Hutton. We're going to talk to him just coming up here shortly. So I want to first start with asking, as we typically try to do, to have you listeners go out there and give us a good review or rating, whether that be on Apple Podcasts and or Podchaser, PodChaser.com. And just give us a good review or rating. We appreciate that. And so, yeah, if you are interested in hearing about Xbox and the games and the launch of the new Xbox Series X console, this is the episode for you.
And if you're not, this is still the episode for you.
That's right. But just fair warning. All right. So, Josh, why don't you go ahead and just give us a hello and tell us a little bit more about yourself. You know, stuff maybe I haven't covered, just whatever you feel free to share.
Sure. Thank you both so much for having me on the show. I was thinking about Brandon. I think I've known you for like 18 years now, which is kind of crazy.
That's impossible.
That's right. But he's not that old.
Yeah, Brandon was a roommate of my brother's in college and has been a good friend ever since I've known him. And Jordan, I had the pleasure of meeting through Brandon, and always enjoyed you guys' company, and it's a real honor to be on the show, so thank you for having me.
I, you know, first of all, when you said honor...
Yeah.
You make it sound like we're outstanding citizens or something.
Well, I wouldn't go that far, but yeah, you're all right.
Well, I'm honored that you're honored.
Well, thank you. A little bit about
this is going downhill.
Yeah, just canceled the episode. A little bit about myself. I work at a small community college as a communications person. And then I am an adjunct professor in the evening there. Outside of that, I do enjoy gaming, and we do an Xbox podcast called What's in the Box, and it is on a bit of a hiatus thanks to coronavirus and trying to track down some of my co-hosts, but it's a lot of fun. We enjoy doing it, and yeah, I guess that covers it for me.
Yeah, Josh, I will say, you know, he's been doing this. Well, your podcast, What's in the Box, we were kind of talking about that a little bit before. Sure. I think maybe last night. You're going on about 2 years before the hiatus. Is that right?
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah. So you have this whole podcasting thing in a bag, so to speak.
It's in a box.
It's in a box.
In a box. Oh, yeah. I like what you did there. Well, I mean, you know, I'm just saying because we talked about this, I think, several episodes back on our podcasting journey and tips where a little bit of research shows that a lot of podcasts really only make it about 6 months before they run out of steam. So 2 years, quite a feat, even if, it doesn't come back from its hiatus. But you have a lot of knowledge, I would say, when it comes to Xbox and news and stuff. So again, excited to talk about that. And speaking of excitement, let's go ahead and go into the first kind of question that we want to hear from you. And we're all going to kind of talk about November 10th is a big day for us.
Right.
And that's going to be the new console, the Xbox Series X. So first off, kind of a question, pre-question before the actual question.
Okay.
What do you think? I know. I hope you followed the dots there. What do you think about the naming, first of all? Let's just start there.
It's certainly a confusing naming convention, I think, if you compare it to Sony, which is very clean, PlayStation 1 through PlayStation 5, pretty simple.
Right. They take the Apple string on that one, don't they?
Yes, exactly. It's named more in the line that you would name phones,
right,
as far as what Xbox is doing. I think it'll be confusing probably to this jump. I think after this, it probably won't be all that confusing. I think they'll probably stick with Xbox Series and then do some combination of letters and numbers, probably for the foreseeable future. But yeah, for this cycle, I do think it's pretty confusing.
So do you think that they did that partially for the confusion? So parents and families are going to go out, hey, mom and dad, I want the new Xbox. And they go, well, the Series X, the Xbox One, well, the One has to be newer, right?
Right. Well, I don't know that that was intentional. I did see something whenever the pre-orders went up for the Series X, Xbox One X
had like a 700% boost.
Yeah, 700% up in sales.
Oh, yeah, you were telling me that, Brandon.
Yeah, so obviously it is leading to some confusion, or at least it confused some bots that were trying to buy the Series X. I'm not sure which is the case. But
no, that's a good point.
Yeah, I don't love the name, to be frank, but I think we'll get used to it. I don't think it'll be a big deal.
Real quick on the name again. My hope was that we would at least, you know, some cool name, because I forget which kind of series or edition, but sure, the whole Project Scorpion.
Yeah, they've had cool, like Scarlet was the code name for this one.
Yeah.
Scarlet's for the Series X, and the Series S was called Lockhart, which both of those, way cooler.
Right. Why didn't you just use that name? That's kind of
those are what their code names during testing. Is that right?
Yeah, it was their developing the consoles. Yeah.
So yeah, I've kind of been curious about that. So anyway, like I said, that was kind of a pre-question to the actual question. So
we're not done with that yet.
Oh, okay.
Well, sorry, but like seriously though, Xbox One. Why logically, if we are on the Xbox One, regardless if it's an S or an X.
Sure.
Why wouldn't they just go Xbox 2 and then S or X or whatever, you know?
Sure.
It's like, you know, you have a Nissan Maxima G or a GT. You know, why would you not logically just continue with that?
I agree 100%, and I don't have an answer for you. I do think it should have been the 2, and I think most people expected that, and I think we're kind of shocked that they didn't. You know, but they made the criminal mistake after the original Xbox, because they went Xbox 360 after that. And like, what do you do from that point, you know?
Well, the One wasn't bad because, I mean, I guess a 360 is one revolution, so the Xbox One
sure
kind of made sense. All right, move on. Fine, Brandon. Fine. Brandon's looking at me.
No, I'm here for the ride.
Are we really discussing this for 10 minutes?
No, it's totally fine. I mean, I think it's a valid question. I think that we represent a very large user base that wants to know what in the world. You got all this stuff right, or seemingly right,
sure,
and cool, and then you fell on the name. But
it didn't stop us from buying it.
No, that's right. And so that really leads
Were you guys able to buy it?
Yep. Oh, well, yes. So first of all, okay, let's
start. Can we talk about that? I'd realize that's kind of a derail, but like, that was no.
We'll talk
itself.
About that. Let's go ahead and get to the first question, and then I think that'll be a good segue into talking about that. First off, to back the card up a little, besides the naming craziness, are we excited? Are you excited, Josh, about the new console? Let me know yes or no, and what kind of reasons you might have for that.
Sure. I definitely am, and I think I'm excited for this console in a way that I haven't been excited for consoles before, because generally I look at new consoles like, I can't wait to see what new games or what it's going to be capable of. And this time, I'm more excited about quality of life improvements, which sounds so dumb, but it's like higher resolution gaming, higher frame rates, faster load times. It's kind of these little elements that add up to your to the bulk of your experience when you're playing games that are finer details that you may not think about a lot if you're a casual gamer. But I think, I'm really excited to play a lot of games that are current gen games that are going to perform a lot better, which is kind of a weird place to be in on a new console launch. But yeah, I'm excited. I think we'll see some big games within the next year, but this launch cycle, I don't know that there's any like new games I'm crazy stoked for. I'm mostly stoked for performance, I think.
Yeah, I mean, and speaking of the performance, we're talking crazy words like 12 teraflops.
Yes. Yeah. don't ask me to break down what that means.
Right. No, I mean,
it's
really
fast.
Yeah,
it's really floppy.
Really flop.
the Series X is going to do 12 teraflops. The PS5, I think it kind of its base level does 8, and then it can overclock to 10. Obviously, with overclocking, it's still not reaching where the Series X can hit, and then there may be kind of, you know, it's probably not going to be the steadiest frame rate on the overclock.
And that's harder on the hardware, right?
Yeah, and there's concerns with overheating on both systems. They've done a lot of tests on the Xbox publicly. A lot of content creators have access to a early version of the Series X, and people have put it in enclosed spaces and done all kinds of things to try to make it overheat, and everybody acts like it's going to be fine, but I don't know. The shape of that PS5 kind of scares me a little bit. It reminds me of the 360 and how many issues that one had.
Well, that kind of goes back to, talking about the overheating issue. If you don't know, the 360 had a horrible overheating problem when it first went out. For those listeners that are listening and don't know what we're referring to, it was really bad. We're talking about like motherboards melting.
Yeah, I did all kinds of tricks. I was definitely one of those people, the red ring of death, if you know what we're talking about. One of the tricks, it actually did work. I think I still have this Xbox sitting behind me, which you can't see kind of down there. I have a collection of consoles and stuff. But I actually did the trick where you stack a few pennies wrapped in electrical tape to, you know, as a way to kind of like keep the stuff from bending and warping. Almost like a heat sink type thing, but not.
Yeah. I've never heard that before.
I didn't hear that one.
Yeah.
I did the wrap it in a towel and turn it on upside down thing.
Yes. Yeah, I remember that.
So that the towel catches on fire.
Yeah.
Right.
It was once.
It was just once that my house burned down. Then we're good. But
it was a rental. Yes. It was okay.
So to be fair too, just kind of going back. So yeah, we're talking about Xbox. It's not. I'll speak for myself. It's not that there's no love for a PlayStation, but usually when you're a console gamer, I say for the most part, I do have a friend that he has them all. Just he plays both, switches back and forth. I'm not that kind of guy. I kind of stick with one. That too. That's a big one. But one of the main things, and this isn't really part of our main talk, but we're just talking about Xbox in general, is the controller is really been my main initial pull to it, except for the very first on the first Xbox. That thing was gargantuan. I liked the smaller controller after that.
But at that point in consoles, like Josh referred to, the games were the draw. And now we've kind of gone to the games aren't the draw, it's the hardware.
Yeah. Neither one of these consoles have particularly strong launch titles.
Yeah.
PS5 has Demon's Souls, which is a remake, which is probably the best looking game that's coming out. And then they have the Spider-Man expansion, that Miles Morales, but again, it's like a glorified expansion. It's not
which, you know, I was looking forward to. I had won a PlayStation 5, or sorry, PlayStation 4 Pro. I ended up selling it because, like I said, I have an Xbox, and it came with Spider-Man. I was looking forward to playing that. I still never have, but what my point was going to be on that is that, at least in my opinion, PlayStation has seemed to be a little bit further ahead on the technological side of things, you know, like resolution and all that, at least from what I understand. So it really is interesting. I'm a little bit skeptical, to be honest, on if Xbox is really going to do what they say they're going to do, or really we're going to see. I'm hopeful. I'm hopeful that it goes as smoothly and as well. But it is interesting that Xbox might actually have an edge this time in that area.
Can I just tell you, like, what excites me the most about the Series X? And Josh may be, like, you may be informed on this, but have you heard of the Quick Resume?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's going to be a cool feature.
I think that's kind of what they were going for with the One, with being able to, you know, the Quick Start.
Sure.
But the Quick Resume blew my mind. Have you heard this, Brandon? I think I sent you.
I've read about
up to
that.
Like 12 games being able to like instantly restart them. That's amazing, especially for, well, particularly Brandon and I, you know, that play 1 or 2, 3, 4 games throughout a week, you know, and that's every few nights. We're not playing one game or two games all day. So that's amazing.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and to be able to pick up wherever you left off, particularly like if you're playing like Red Dead Redemption or something, which has a longer load-in time, playing a story game like that, to be able to instantly go into it and then swap back and play something with the family or something, just, within seconds is huge.
I just don't know that it's going to work for online games.
Yeah, I don't think it will. Yeah.
So if you're playing Red Dead Online, I don't think you're going to be able to load straight in online because you have to log into their servers and all that. But at least the load in general should be quicker.
Yes.
Yeah. Right, right. So, okay. So, Josh, to get to the question that you kind of wanted to go down, the pre-ordering. So, it sounds like you did not get to pre-order.
I did.
Is that correct?
It was an experience for sure.
Right.
It was.
I've never had so many like browsers tabbed out or tabs in a browser.
Exactly what you're saying. So yeah, walk us through that. What was the morning? How excited were you? Were you just anticipation through the roof? What was going on there?
Yeah, I think I was aware that it was going to be tough because they'd had like NVIDIA's 3080 graphic cards had gone up for pre-order not long before this.
Right.
Immediately sold out. The weekend before the PlayStation had gone out, immediately sold out.
And really you can't find those graphic cards.
No.
Right now.
No. And so I was like, okay, this is going to be tough. So I probably started with maybe 3 tabs open, like the Microsoft Store, Best Buy, Amazon. And I'm watching for when it goes live. And maybe 3 or 4 minutes before it goes live, I noticed that like these websites are starting to break essentially.
Right.
And I'm like, oh no, this is not good. And so I ended up getting it off the Microsoft Store, but I was like, I had all kinds of errors. At one point I got it added to the cart, which was a fight into itself.
Oh yeah,
absolutely.
And then it told me I couldn't order it because I wasn't in a country they were like authorized to ship it to or something. I was like, oh, this is bad, you know. That was just some weird random error, and I eventually got through, got it bought. But I remember before it went live, I texted all the guys I play with a lot, and only one of them took me seriously on it. I think everybody else was like, ah, I'll be able to get one whenever, you know. And it went maybe 30 minutes, it was gone everywhere or something. I mean, it was very quick.
Yeah, I'm with you. I had Microsoft Store, GameStop, Walmart, Amazon, Best Buy,
Circuit City,
maybe Newegg, some other name that I'm not sure was a legit business practice.
Did you help Newegg?
Right. But yeah, I actually did get mine. I got mine through the Microsoft Store, and I also had very similar issues. With you, it took me a few times, and then on GameStop, and I know Jordan, you can talk about this. So I think you got yours through GameStop, right?
Yes.
Nice. Yeah. So on GameStop, you know, we get there and we're put in this queue. Basically, hey, you're in a queue. You'll be in line. Page refreshes.
Right.
And that's all it was a refreshing. And I know that mine had to refresh a couple times, so I kept getting pushed back. I was like, this is no good. Yeah. This is no good at all. But yeah, I was able to secure one. And Jordan, you too.
Yeah, I sat in that queue and I didn't do anything. In fact, I got kicked out of the queue a couple times, but got back in, finally got one added to the cart. And then when I was checking out, it said, no, there's nothing in your cart. No, there is. I see it. No, you can't use that credit card. No, I see it in the cart. Like, let me finish the transaction. And it finally failed in general. And then all of a sudden when it reloaded, I had an order confirmation number in there, and Brandon can attest. I'm texting Brandon like for the day, 2 days when I'm waiting on the email for the finalization that it went through. I didn't even know if my order confirmation was good.
Oh yeah.
But yeah, it's good.
I know there were several people that I was talking to at the time kind of as well, and it went poorly for them. They didn't get one. I felt like I was like a lucky contestant, like one of five people that actually got one, you know, that's what it felt like.
Lucky contestant. You get to spend $500.
Right.
Lucky you.
And I know the PlayStation 5 had some major issues. I didn't get one or try, so I don't really know, but all I know is in the news leading up to the day that the pre-order for the Xbox was coming, they were like, we just hope we didn't do what PlayStation did.
Sure.
And I don't know if they succeeded.
So did they? I don't know. I really didn't know that it was going to be such a debacle. You know, the last console I bought was, the Xbox One S, and I bought it Black Friday shopping. But, you know, the Xbox One, I bought it, you know, I guess I had it pre-ordered, but there definitely wasn't that sellout demand that I remember.
Yeah, this is my first pre-order of a console, really of anything. I can't, on the top of my mind, think of anything I've ever pre-ordered. I was looking forward to this because we play on a regular basis and that performance would be great. So,
right.
All right. Well, Josh, do you have anything else to add on this whole, the pre-order or the excitement, the initial excitement about the console itself?
I think it was kind of they've had a bit of a roller coaster on a brand level, I would say, for Xbox in the last 6 months or so. Because as you talked about, you know, PlayStation has done very well this current cycle. Consoles, the PS4 versus the Xbox One. And so coming into this, I think Xbox is seen as an underdog in a lot of ways, yet they have Microsoft money, so they're not really underdog. I mean, they, you know, obviously they bought studios, several, they're up to 23 different
big studios.
They bought Bethesda for over $7 billion. I mean, which is like buying the rights to Star Wars twice, you know, like what Disney paid for that. So they've done these really crazy moves. So they're both like an underdog coming into this. And yet at the same time, I think they're offering the best value for people. If you're looking for performance, it's that Series X. It's going to be the most powerful console. If you're looking for a budget, they have that Series S. It's $300. That's a good one, I think, if you're buying for kiddos.
We didn't even talk about that.
It still has the SSD, so it can run really fast. It's just going to be a lower resolution.
And all online.
It's a digital only. You wouldn't buy physical copies of games for it. But that's a good move for kiddos. And you can do all access where you can pay $25 a month to buy the Series S, and you would have access to Game Pass and Xbox Live, so stuff like Minecraft and Minecraft Dungeons and a lot of different family games within that you wouldn't have to pay any extra for. So I think that's a good option too for families. So I think all of that I'm pretty excited about. I was bummed about Halo getting delayed, but
right.
Because
that was going to be on launch, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's a huge loss for them. It's crazy to me. You know, I think that's a pretty common discussion, is like crunch culture in tech, and you hate to see that and all that kind of stuff. And I empathize with people who are having to work those crazy hours. At the same time, you can't miss a launch game. Like, that's so crazy to me. How do you miss, like, your Hallmark game to delay? That's wild to me. But
so one quick thing that came up in my mind that I just wanted to real quick get your opinion on.
Sure.
Is I had done just a little bit of research into this. As far as storage goes, the one thing that I'm not a huge fan of that I'm hearing about, I hope it's not the case, but so you're going to have the SSD internal, great, you know, and they're going to do this whole new kind of optimization stuff. Certain games that are on the internal storage you'll be able to play. But then there's this external kind of proprietary expansion slot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I was looking at that and I was like, okay, what's this about? And because I have an external USB powered SSD.
Right.
And so I'm like, will I be able to still use that? And I did some research because of that. And it looks like I will. However, it seems to be that any of the games that are optimized will only be able to run in an optimized manner if they're internal or you buy this expansion slot thing, which is like $200 or might be like $200 and something. Yeah. What do you think about that? Are you aware of that?
And how ridiculous is that? You're absolutely right. Yeah, it's that is a big negative. I think both consoles, both the PS5 and the Series X are gonna have that issue. Because they're using proprietary, as you said, SSDs. And so you can store all of your games on a regular hard drive or an SSD. And whenever you want to play them, you can transfer them over. I watched a video of somebody transferring over Odyssey, which I think is Assassin's Creed Odyssey, which I think is probably an 80 gigabyte game from an external drive to the SSD. And they did that within 10 minutes. So
okay, good point.
You know, it's probably not the worst it's a headache to manage that and switch stuff from drives. But I think that might be the move short term until the prices come down on the expansion cards. Because I agree, I do not want to spend $200 for memory on that.
Yeah, half of the cost of the console for expansion. Yeah.
Absolutely,
you can play off of other hard drives and SSDs, right? It's just not optimized.
I think you can play all the backwards compatibility games. I don't think you can play a Series X game like one that's actually for that console.
Oh, okay.
Right. Yeah. You know, and to your point, though, that is a good point because I already do that now a little bit. I try to keep my internal and my SSD, you know, as free as possible. Sure. So I actually have two externals. One is just a regular kind of hard drive and then the SSD. So anytime, you know, I'm playing a game for a while, I will do that and switch over, you know, to run maybe two or three games on the SSD and have all the, you know, crazy ones, you know, on another external drive. So we've been kind of talking about this, talking all around it. So with the launch, there's supposed to be a lot of games. So what are you looking forward to? We've talked about how there's not really like one game in particular. So I'm kind of, I say confused, but... interested. There's all these games, backward compatible games. They, you know, like you mentioned, they purchased Bethesda. I'm curious about all the games that are going to come with that. Are you looking forward to any specific games right now?
Sure. Yeah, definitely. I think all the things I'm looking forward to are primarily third party games. I don't know that there's anything first party that I'm super excited about. I think they're doing an expansion to Gears 5. Which I'll probably hop into. I thought that game was fine. I didn't think it was like crazy good or anything, but the enhancements to the game, I'd like to see those. Played it its original form as far as first party stuff. But the stuff I'm most excited about is Beyond Light, which is an expansion for Destiny 2. Will come out on launch on November 10th. That is where I will probably spend the bulk of my time. and then within, you know, the first couple of weeks, you have Cyberpunk 2077. I'm very excited about that one. I think Assassin's Creed looks good, but I'll probably hold off on that one for a while.
Wait till it goes on sale.
Yeah, I think those games are very consistent in their quality, but at the same time, I don't think they're going to do anything new that I feel like I just have to see or try out. So, but I think Cyberpunk and Destiny are going to be the primary things. The Medium is a game that comes out in December, so I guess that's kind of launch window, not necessarily that launch week.
Oh,
okay. That one looks cool. It's like a dual reality thing where you can kind of action-adventure game where you can shift from a real world to kind of like a spirit world, and sometimes those are up at the same time on opposite sides of the screen. Just visually, that one looks fun.
Very cool. Yeah, Jordan and I were talking about it. I saw a trailer for Cyberpunk, and I've been kind of excited about it. Also, I mean, I think it comes from, you know, just talking to a few other people that are looking forward to it. I'm wondering how really kind of mature audience it's going to be, I guess, if that's really a phrase.
Very mature, I believe.
I think so. It looks really neat. There's some similarity to GTA, it seems like, some other crossover stuff, but I think it'll be cool. So, yeah, that one I would say is the only one in my mind in that window off the top of my head that, you know, I would maybe look forward to or kind of interesting. Otherwise, it's going to be the optimized games and hoping that the current games that we play will run a lot better.
Sure. I know that you guys play PUBG pretty frequently. Have they said anything explicitly about updates for next-gen consoles that you've seen?
I don't know. Jordan, have you? I'm not sure.
I haven't heard anything on specific, next-gen updates.
It seems like that's a game that scales well, and they've, like you're talking about, last time I talked to you, Brandon, they're adding that optimization mode where you can do 60 frames per second. So it seems like they're scaling it for sure. But their newest
update, which actually isn't officially even on the console, it's on like the test server.
Sure.
I think you get to choose, the frame rate prioritization to 60 frames per second, but then you lose the ability to play in 4K and then play in 1080p, which is not a really big deal in my mind. No. So I'd like to see if that really is delivered. But it's kind of sad, though. But at the same time, when it's a game that, I don't know, Jordan and I know we've played for this particular game a little over 2 years.
Yeah.
Right? So with a game that you play that much, it, you know, it has updated. It's gotten a little bit better. But there's a lot of performance issues with that game sometimes. And what's sad about it is that you almost look forward to a whole new console that other games can play so well on just to have a game that you can play okay on, I guess. Not really a knock, but kind of a knock to PUBG. So I am hopeful because it is a game that we play quite a bit of.
Well, every time there's an update, it feels like they break something else.
Sure.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But, well, I'm going to mention, have you guys seen the game The Falconer?
That one does look cool.
So it's like, I don't know if you've seen it, Brandon.
I've not.
First of all, aerial dogfighting.
So it's like crimson skies all over again.
Yeah.
Man, that's what I miss. Real quick tangent. Since Crimson Skies, I've always wanted Top Gun fighting, you know, kind of deal. And it's never been delivered.
I mean, Ace Combat's out there, but Ace Combat isn't very dogfighty whenever you're shooting missiles at one another because it's real quick. But this is. So aerial dogfighting mixed with open air combat and open world exploration. So they're kind of describing it like a Star Fox, Sea of Thieves, Love Child.
I'm surprised I haven't heard of that because that sounds super exciting to me.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know a whole lot about it, but that's something that I'll be interested in. I don't even know when it's coming out.
Yeah. And I think that's one of the few that's going to do 4K 120.
That'd be amazing.
Yeah, it'll look really sharp.
That's super cool. I can tell you that I'm not very interested in Yakuza, Like a Dragon, Watchdog Legion.
Yeah. Those Yakuza games.
Dirt 5.
Those Yakuza games are kind of niche, but they are like video game junk food. They're so over the top and silly. And they have some serious moments for sure in their storytelling, but like just the type of activities you can do. I think they're like a fun play when you got nothing else going on kind of game, but I'm with you. It's not like a huge draw.
Yeah. And the only other games I'm kind of maybe looking forward to, we'll see. I haven't played in a long time, or just a couple of different sports games, but I was looking into and looking forward to the, like the PGA kind of golf.
Oh yeah.
Games.
Yeah.
You know, those have been, you know, really pretty and well done and a good use of having some nice visuals and stuff. So, I don't
the
mind.
The 2K basketball games. Really yeah, good. Exactly. On next gen. Super.
Well, so what games are you, Josh, what games are you playing currently? Let me ask you this.
Yeah.
Would you say you're more of a kind of devoted, committed to one game, or do you jump back and forth? What games are you playing right now?
Sure. I play a lot of different games, particularly like when we're doing the podcast. So always trying out something different for each episode.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Since we've kind of been on hiatus, that hasn't been as much the case. I probably play, I don't know, I would say two or three games that are at least new to me each month. And then I have Destiny's always a staple. I've been playing more like Rainbow Six the last last few months. Enjoy that one.
Yeah, that's a fun. So Rainbow Six Siege, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then, yeah, that one was one I played on PC first and then played on console a little bit. Just really didn't notice anybody playing on console, but I really liked that game for a while.
Yeah, it's great. I think one thing, you know, when we were all playing PUBG and stuff, I think one thing that that game did for me was like really make me appreciate competitive shooters. And that just wasn't something I played a lot more, I guess, casually before that.
And right, yeah.
And since that time, man, like I love doing comp and Destiny, playing the competitive playlist in Rainbow. It's tough. It's nerve wracking, but there's something really satisfying about that whenever you're playing with friends and you make good plays together and just the teamwork comes out of that. It's really fun. But yeah, Call of Duty, Modern Warfare. I'll probably skip Black Ops. So I wasn't super thrilled by the beta on that one. And then I play Fortnite with my nephews, play some Halo Master Chief Collection with them.
Yeah. Yeah.
What about you guys? What have you guys been up to lately?
Yeah, Jordan, why don't you go ahead and start? What have you been playing?
I know. Well, went back to Red Dead Online and gave it a chance. I know what at launch it was the Red Dead Online beta, and to say it was trash, maybe it wasn't trash, but it was really rough. It, you know, getting griefed all the time. Well, I mean, I think Brandon was in there with me, and there's just all online players, and the goal was just to murder one another, and that gets really old, you know, because that's all you're doing. But I went back to Red Dead Online, and it's great, the updates they've put on. You know, you can have different careers, if you will, moonshining or, you know, being a trader, a collector. I forgot how pretty the game was. It is a gorgeous looking game. And of course, I'm playing PUBG. I will tell you, Josh, though, that I did download and install Fallout 76 Wasteland.
Okay.
Because I saw that it was on Game Pass and I thought I'd give it a try again. Hopefully they've made a lot of updates today. Cause I tried that when it was free for whatever, 5 days or whatever. And I did go ahead and reinstall Destiny too.
Oh, my man. Okay. Now we just got to convince Brandon.
The backstory. Quick backstory. Yeah. For our listeners, Destiny 2. So I don't remember if I played Destiny 1 or not, but anyway, we kind of came together. It's really, I think Destiny 2 was the game that kind of brought some of us friends back and to really starting to play on a weekly basis. It was fun. There was a lot of issues and stuff. And then certain personalities of people we were playing with kind of made things just go off a cliff. And then though they improved the game quite a bit, but I was so worn out of that game at that time and just the stuff. Things called a raid, which for listeners who've never played the game or anything, there are these really kind of intricate cooperative missions where you got to do things a certain way and never failed. You'd always have one person that should have known what to do, and they just fell flat on their face every time. You couldn't count on them, and then hours into like a raid. I mean, these are extensive things.
Right.
You know, so it was just
hours to get to the end.
It got to be miserable.
And then they mess up and you keep messing up until the point that everybody's frustrated and you're done.
Yeah.
All right. And so then that's when we turned over to PUBG, really. And so real quick, kind of the overview of this, you know, one thing I want to mention before we get, you know, too close to the end of the episode here is that I know Jordan and I have talked about this, and Josh, kind of interested on your perspective on it. I assume it'll probably be similar.
Sure.
But Jordan and I have talked about this, that, you know, why do we play some of the games we play? PUBG is one of those games I know that Jordan specifically gets, you know, frustrated with here and there. And I do too, to be fair. Talking about this the other night, and
I hate it.
You know, yeah, it's a love hate for sure. But it's those games though that you're able to sit, talk to your friends. You know, especially like, you know, him and I, our dads have kids and all these kind of things. We all, you know, are busy adults in general.
Yeah.
And so it's nice to be able to connect with somebody and play a game that's cooperative. You're actually talking, because it's hard, as we found out, to play these single story games sometimes.
Sure.
While chatting, because you're so focused and so you're not really talking. But PUBG is one of those games, I think, at least I'll speak for myself, that I like so much because it is good. I actually enjoy the game. However, I really enjoy the cooperation, as frustrating as it can be. I enjoy that there's this constant, you have to be talking to each other. Mm-hmm. And so that's one of the main reasons, you know, really why we wanted to talk about this too. We're excited about it, but why on the Two Dads, One Mind podcast are we talking Xbox? You know,
sure.
Where does that fit? And so for us, I would say it fits because, like I said, as we are gaming dads and it's how we talk to each other. Jordan lives in Texas. I'm in Oklahoma. So it's not like I can just go hang out with him, you know, on a weekend night or something. So, yeah. So, Josh, for you, would you say it's about the kind of same, or what really pulls you into being a gamer in general?
Yeah, absolutely. I just don't think I would play video games very much if it wasn't for the people I connect with while I'm doing it. For the same reason you're talking about, I have a good friend that lives in Texas. I have a friend that's in Virginia.
Thanks, Josh. I didn't know you considered me that close.
Yeah, yeah. I have two friends in Texas.
Now two friends. Nice.
Yeah. So, it's that's a huge part of it. I think one thing, you know, you talk about PUBG. One thing that's so great about that game is that loud, quiet, loud mechanic of it, where you can have several minutes where nothing happens, and then it erupts into these crazy situations, and you have to adapt. But in those minutes where nothing's happening, you're catching up. You're talking about your kids. You're talking about what they're doing. You're talking about your own life, jobs and stuff. You know, you're getting to kind of vent. And then it transitions into, now we have to communicate and cooperate well in this moment. And that's something, you know, my sister's not a huge fan of video games, and her boys really like them. And something I try to tell her is, like, there's a lot of valuable lessons in it. Like, they're going to lose. They're going to get beat really bad at times, you know, and they have to kind of figure out how to learn from that. They have to learn how to communicate effectively and react quickly and help each other out. And I mean, there's a lot of really valuable.
There's a lot of words to learn out there.
Sure.
As well.
Yeah. Yeah. Some real choice words can be learned.
And they
well.
Usually come from those teenagers. Unfortunately, it's insane.
Not every kid gets a trophy.
Yeah, for sure.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that would be the primary reason. I like games with really challenging goals. One of the directors of Destiny one time, he talked about how when they're designing that game, they create mountains, and then they encourage players to be mountain climbers, you know, to overcome this great challenge. And so when they come down from the mountain, they have these rewards that other players can see and be like, oh my goodness, that guy did the raid, or he went flawless in trials, which is a competitive mode. You know, all these different things that are kind of this encourage these really challenging gameplay mechanics. And it's the same thing with trying to win a battle royale game. The odds are so stacked against you that when you do, it's so satisfying. I think challenge and then community or keeping up with people would be the primary things for sure.
Yeah. So to go back, because I didn't actually answer the question myself on what I'm currently playing, and there was maybe one or two games I wanted to mention real quick. Obviously PUBG, that's, we've been playing that quite a bit. I like one of the games that is a single player game that I've recently been playing. I wish it was multiplayer. I hope it goes that route. I've been pleasantly surprised by is Subnautica. And so there's also a game called No Man's Sky, which is also good. I know Jordan's played that.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's a space exploration kind of game and missions, and it just seems infinite, you know, going to different galaxies and mining minerals and building things. Subnautica is very similar, but it's kind of underworld alien-esque. And
underwater.
I like that. Yeah. Yeah, all water, building, you know, submersibles and kind of cool stuff. And there's this alien theme to it, but yet it's also simple. So it's one of those games I can kind of get into and kind of mindless. But it is one of those games that if Jordan's playing a game and I'm playing a game, it's hard to focus on a conversation for some reason while playing that game.
That was my frustration with Minecraft and No Man's Sky. Really, really enjoy them. But anytime I was playing with Brandon, we're kind of often doing our own things. You turn into this mindless zombie that's mining stuff. And then you're like, oh, are you building this? No, I'm doing this. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. They're very meditative, but they're not particularly cooperative. Yeah.
Right. I mean, it is co-op, but because you're you can have the same goal, but you really
don't have to.
Yeah. You totally close off. And so I'm with Brandon on the PUBG thing. That's the only reason I keep coming back, Brandon. I love you.
All right. So the other game I want to mention real quick that Jordan and I have played together, and it is, it kind of fits both of those things or ticks all those boxes, is the, what's that one called with the battleships, the World of Warships.
There you go.
Legends. Yes. Okay. I always get that one mixed up. So that one's pretty fun, but
actually it's really enjoyable.
Yeah, battleships and stuff. And I think how many people on a team? I don't remember. I don't know if that's
important. I think it's only three, which is
right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kind of a downfall.
It's kind of interesting.
And it's not real complex either, as far as, I mean, either you blow everybody else's ships up or you capture all the points. I mean, it's definitely not a $60 AAA title game. Which is why it was free. Free on what, Game Pass, but yeah, really, really
pleasantly
enjoyable.
Surprised, and it's good. Yeah,
really pretty. Like the graphics are really pretty. It's, I don't know. You may want to check that out, Josh. It's actually,
it is. I will.
We've had really, really enjoyed it.
Yeah. So you just said really pretty, and I when you were talking about it earlier, I wanted to mention this because I think it's kind of funny, maybe, but Red Dead Redemption 2. So I went to play the story. I really love the game, and I'm kind of curious. Maybe it was because some other game, maybe it was even PUBG, kind of took our focus off of it, but I never finished the story. But what I wanted to mention on that game, that was like, for me at least, one of the first games I played. I was riding my horse through some mountainous area, and I came across, I'll never forget this moment. It sounds really silly, but it's really true. Came across this moment where I was walking through this mountainous area, and I kind of look over to the left and I see this cascading waterfall. And I don't know if you remember this, Jordan, because I think we were online together or something talking, because I remember telling you about this, but I look over and I see it and I'm like, are you kidding me? I took a screenshot because I was like, this is the most beautiful thing I have seen in a game. This is amazing.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like I'm actually here by a waterfall right now.
On my horse.
Yeah.
I'm actually looking forward to seeing how it looks on the Series X.
Oh, yeah. Me too.
The only other games that have been that pretty, Assassin's Creed Odyssey is very pretty as well. Yeah. I mean, I think I went to some temple and I actually took a screenshot and it's my background on Xbox.
Oh,
because cool. I was like, that is just really picturesque, you know, the little village down below and this temple on a mountain. Really cool. But I'm with you. It's, and that's why we play video games, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah. No, I'm always impressed. I'm always impressed because by career, I am a software developer. So, you know, I get some of that stuff and I can appreciate the work that would be in some of that. But what is still mind boggling and mind blowing for me is the graphics part of that. Like, yeah, there's the software side, the binaries, you know, the code part and all these things, but to make a game that beautiful and I'm even I consider myself a creative person. You know, I know my way around Photoshop and such, but thinking about all the detail in some of these games just blows my mind. All right. So Josh, we're kind of at the end of our episode here. And so do you have any final thoughts about Xbox in general or gaming in general or just, man, life?
In terms of life, I would like to say, if it ain't broke, it will be soon.
I like that.
So, you know, prepare, be steadfast, keep evolving. In terms of games, I'm really excited for the holiday season. I think it's going to be a good time to be a gamer, whether you're on PC, PlayStation, Xbox. There's going to be a lot of good stuff for everybody. And it'll be a nice distraction from, I know, a very tough year for everybody, and a good way to come together and just distract each other and just have some fun. So
I think it's appropriate that we, you know, a couple of the episodes we've ended on a story. A couple of them have been... Sure. Some friends of mine who've told a story on me, and I thought I would change it around. Uh-oh. And yeah, so I'm going to share a story real quick of how I met Josh. Cause I don't know. It's always that golden nugget in my mind that I look back and it's just such a special memory to me. And you know, Josh, you be fair. I mean, maybe it wasn't as special to meet me as it was for me to meet you. I don't know. But so yeah, friends with your older brother in college. And gosh, I'm trying to remember. So if you can kind of remember this time frame, how old do you think you were? Or what? Where were you? I know you were in like maybe high school.
I think I would have been 12 or 13, probably.
12. So yeah,
I think it was in sixth grade.
Were you, man? I guess that is how. Man, that's blown. I'm so old. All right, so I guess that does fit now that I look back. So anyway, yeah, good friends with his older brother, Jason, and I might have met Josh maybe once or something like that before, but anyway, I was invited to go with them to Sulphur Springs. It's kind of cool area here in Oklahoma, where the water is very cold, but it's really pretty, really cool. And I think your family, Josh, they go there. I mean, it seemed like they go there, or used to, on a fairly regular basis, maybe.
Yeah. Something. My folks will generally go there at least once a year. Yeah.
Yeah. So I got the awesome invite to go down there. And so my experience with Josh, so we get down there and having a good time, and it begins to rain. And I just remember Josh was just wearing this white t-shirt and dancing in the rain, and just, I don't even know if there was an actual song going on, but he was in his world. And I was like, this kid is one cool dude. I appreciate
and
that.
And I was thick with two C's and just owning it. Just out there.
You were owning it. And I was like, I like this guy. And that quickly, I think maybe even that same weekend, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, you were playing GTA or some game like that. But I remember going up in your room, hanging out, and like playing games with you. That was it was kind of funny because, you know, your brother and I were, you know, really good friends, and I was actually instead playing with the little brother, his little brother. So
yeah, he's way cooler.
No,
facts.
Jason's a cool kid.
No, he's sweet guy.
Yeah. So anyway, that was our first deal, and I also remember we discovered a secret CD of your other brother and his band, and man, what a moment when your mother discovered that. So fun.
Yeah, I can't remember what was on the CD that made us put it into the.
I don't remember what it said. Yeah,
but we put it in, and like none of us knew what it was, and it started going, and we listened close, and man, it probably almost an entire song went by before it clicked that it was my brother Jeremy singing. And they had the wonderful hit "Ridiculous with You," which oh man, how that was like a getting knocked up naked, singing with you, dancing with you, let's go play something out in the pouring
so
rain.
So for your listeners, I know that's almost rated M or R or something. But what you have to know about this, okay? So let me set the scene up because this is hilarious. I'm sorry, but it's definitely, you had to be there to appreciate it. But we're with their mother. I love their mother. So, you know, they are, I'm trying to like set this scene up. How about you, Josh? Kind of very quickly, set up the scene for what how you would describe your mom in particular.
Like, so kind, she shouldn't be real. Like, she's just like an endless well of compassion.
Yes.
And she's a very modest person and a very caring and giving person. But she's not such a fan of adult content. She's pretty strict on that front. And so to have her son on the radio talking about some romantic encounter, it was a delicious moment, to say the least.
Yes. So here I am, the outsider to the family, kind of deal, hanging out, good time. And we're all, I think we were probably all kind of like wet from the rain, and we get in this minivan. And somehow or another, she's going through the console, I don't know, pulls out this CD. We're like, oh, put it in. And that was the first thing that came through the speakers. And when we realized it was his older brother, we're like, oh my gosh. It was the most awkward yet magical moment that I can remember. And, you know, it's not a story that I would bring up with your mom.
Right. Yeah. So I don't think I've ever brought it up with her. Yeah.
But anyway, that's a funny time. So Jordan, do you have any other final thoughts now that we've both kind of shared ours?
No, there's no way to end on that. No, I can't come back from that.
No. I'm sorry, we just kind of surprised you with that story.
You did. I'm going to leave it like this. Listeners, thank you for chiming in to listening in to Two Dads, One Mind. This was Josh Hutton with us. We were so happy to have him. It's been a really good show. Josh, say goodbye. We love you all.
See you guys later. Thank you for having me.
All right. Yes. Thank you, Josh Hutton, for stopping by Two Dads, One Mind. We do hope that you are able to get off of this hiatus with your podcast show, What's in the Box? So listeners, check that out if you want to. And that is all about kind of gaming and Josh's shenanigans and his friends. So we hope that you enjoy this episode. It was a laid back kind of fun episode. Don't forget to give us a rating or a review. And we look forward to speaking to you next week. Have a great evening.
Bye.
This is Two Dads,
One Mind.